So let's analyse this particular section. And I want to say a little bit more about working on the text now, because as you know, I've been in context. I love context. Let's talk a little bit more about the text, because there are important questions, yeah? You know, 3 minutes context, 5 minutes text, then the conclusion, yeah? Yes? Yes. Who are the Tories? Yes. What is a record? Your record. C'est votre bilan. C'est votre bilan. Your record, yeah. Now, you could have your school record. Oh, yeah. Your marks every year. That's your record. Yeah. That's the idea there. Okay. So from the point of view of the text, I will come to it in a moment, but you would certainly, there are a number of references here. You won't know enough to explain them all. But if you can explain three, Mike, well, that's very good. Yeah. That's very good, yeah. The same thing, you might want to say something about his choice of vocabulary. If we look at line, I will read it to you in a moment, but if you look at line 60, in case their talk of fairness doesn't wash, they have another card to play. That this election is all about Brexit and who can play at being toughest with Brussels. Now, in this sentence, he says, look at the government. They have a card to play. Oh, it's all about Brexit. And Jeremy Corbyn said, the government wants to say, who can play at being the strongest person against the European Union? So Jeremy Corbyn is accusing the government of playing. Yeah. So the vocabulary he uses, it's an insult, really. He's saying, you know, they just want to play at being tough. Il veut jouer à qui est le plus dur. Yeah. So his suggestion is that his opponent is not interested in the lives of British people. They are interested in playing at being tough. Yeah. So this is the micro that you go in and you have a look at the vocabulary. But let me read the whole section to you first. Theresa May thinks she can dodge the Tory record by claiming she wants to build a fairer Britain, that she cares about working people. But does she think people will forget how the Tories have actually treated working people? It was this Tory leader who sat alongside David Cameron in government for 6 years. She was with him when they introduced the bedroom tax. What's remotely fair about the bedroom tax? What was fair about racking up tuition fees? Or about taking benefits away from people with disabilities? Or about closing sure start centres or starving schools of cash? Or opening up the NHS to be feasted on by profiteers? Okay, so his first argument is, Theresa May says, this was the Conservative slogan, for a fairer Britain, pour une Grande Bretagne plus juste. And of course, Jeremy Corbyn, this is his job, is to say it's not true. And he gives a list of things that she has done in government with the previous Prime Minister, which are not fair. Now, sans doute, il y en a plusieurs que vous n'avez pas compris. Mais si vous pouvez expliquer deux des exemples, c'est excellent. Je vais vous aider un petit peu. The bedroom tax. Now, the bedroom tax was very simple. You know that people who do not have a lot of money, they get help from the government with their rent. Yeah, so supposing somebody lives in a house and they must pay £1,000 a month as rent. Remember that rent in England is higher than rent in France. In London, it's much more expensive than Paris even. There's huge rents. And so if somebody lives in a house and it costs £1,000 a month and they don't have a lot of money, the government will give them some money to help. Peut-être vous recevez des APL ou des choses comme ça. Okay. Now, the government, the Conservative government, brought in a new rule. It says, so you live in this house and you want money to help with you. Aha. But there are only two of you and one child, that's three people. and you have three bedrooms. You have too many bedrooms. We're not going to help you. You must move house. This was the bedroom tax. That they were check anybody who received help from the government. There was going to be a test to check how many bedrooms do you have. So, I have two bedrooms, but it's because my husband died. We don't care. You must move house. You're in too big a house. Yeah. So it was a way of reducing the money, the help given by the government. The reason that Jeremy Corbyn mentions this example is because it was extremely unpopular. Je me demande si le gouvernement n'a pas regretté, parce que vous savez qu'ils font plein de réformes. S'il y a une petite réforme qui donne une révolte énorme, ils se disent, merde, on aurait dû faire autre chose. And the bedroom tax was really, because many old people live in houses which are perhaps too big for them. But moving house when you're old is a big problem. Yeah. So this was c'est de bonne guerre, il choisit les exemples les plus impopulaire, c'est normal. Now, peut-être le plus facile pour vous d'expliquer, c'était what was fair about racking up tuition? Who pays tuition fees? Students, yeah. Every student who goes to university pays so much. Today, €11,000 a year. At the time, I think they just changed it from 3 to 6 or something like that. But this one, if you see tuition fees, you can explain, tuition fees is the money you must pay to go to university, and it was free a long time ago. When I went to university, it was free, which is good because we had no money. It was zero, it was just zero. And today it's €11,000 a year, which is quite significant. Now, this is very clearly a victory for Thatcherism, because the Thatcherism says, you want to go to university because you want to get a job which makes more money, so you should pay. It's normal. Whereas the trade union point of view says, no. Society needs teachers and doctors and lawyers, so society should pay for the education. They're just two different worldviews, yeah? What can you do? So tuition fees. And so Jeremy Corbyn considers that making tuition fees higher is not fair. Yeah, it's not fair. So the argument here is, what is fair, what is not fair? These are difficult arguments, what is fair, what is not fair. And he uses other examples, some of them very easy to understand. Starving schools of cash. You know, schools do not have enough money. You might also notice, with a bit of luck, because remember you have an hour to prepare, you might notice that the style is rather informal. Starving schools of cash. He doesn't say, limiting the financial budgets of educational institutions. No, he doesn't say that. Starving schools of cash. It's much more informal. Yes?
Is it because he's talking to younger
people? No, it's because politics has changed since... Vous pouviez pas savoir. The last speech we saw was Margaret Thatcher in 1975. This is 35 years later. And in general, all political speeches have changed in Britain. And the new style is more informal, shorter sentences, et une certaine concentration sur le soundbite, the slogan, yeah? Perhaps you remember at the last election in France, somebody came up with, ce n'est pas un duel, c'est un duo. That's very 21st century politics. It's a memorable phrase, a phrase that people will remember. And we have a few here a bit later on. For example, build 1 million homes. Or Labour wants a jobs first Brexit. What you want is very short things to say. So they're starving schools from cash is informal. The other informal thing, if you look in this section, you will see that he uses contractions. I don't think, things like that. Now, as you know, in writing, you do not use contractions unless you're very informal writing to your friends. And in speaking, you do use contractions unless you're very formal. And in the previous speeches, there were probably no contractions. So it was rather formal. So the style is, in general, politics is becoming more informal. D'ailleurs, même en France, je pense que le tutoiement dans les documents politiques est en hausse. sojourn the shorter half. Okay, so that's what's going on here. Line 58, opening up the NHS to be feasted on by profiteers. Alors, ouvrir le service national de santé pour faire un gros repas pour les profiteurs. C'est ça ce qu'il dit. So this is the idea that private enterprise is having a bigger role in public service. Now, as you know, Thatcherism is the idea that you, whenever possible, you should privatize. You know, so the railways are privatized. The health service, the problem is, for Thatcherism, is that it's politically impossible to privatize. In Britain, doctors are free, dentists are free, and if you're the government and you say, okay, doctors are not free anymore, you must all pay for your doctors, it's political suicide. It's absolutely impossible, for the moment, politically. However, the Conservative government said, we can privatize something. So, take the public hospital. We cannot privatize the hospital, but we can privatize the X-ray department, the radiology, the services. We can privatize the canteen. Now, this does not mean that people pay, but it means that the public money goes to private companies. You know, the public money goes to private companies. And that's what he's saying. He's saying he's very unhappy because he considers that it's better to have a public hospital with public employees doing radiology, for example, instead of using public money to pay private companies for X-rays. That's the idea. This is what happened under the different governments influenced by Thatcherism is that there were different kinds of privatization. Sometimes it was simple privatization. Before it was public, now it's private. But very often it was ways of involving private companies. I can give you an example. If you have a high school in Britain today which has bad exam results, every year, bad exam results. The government can sign a form and say, okay, all the teachers are sacked, and we have a private company who will come in and reorganize the high school. They will employ teachers, whichever teachers they want, sometimes the same teachers, and they have 5 years to improve the exam results. It's a private company, but it's not a private school. The pupils will not pay to go to the school. It's simply that the private company will come in to reform the school. So this is a very strong example of a form of privatization, even though it is public service provided by private companies. Because it's not a private school, the people don't pay to go. Now, of course, the teachers are not very happy because they lost their job. And when they come back, they say, oh, well, you're the new company, I want my job. The salary will be lower. Or also, they have a lot of flexibility. For example, supposing they had bad results in mathematics. They say, okay, well, we're going to pay the French teacher and the science teacher £2,000 a month, but the maths teacher, we're going to pay them £3,000 a month. You know, so it becomes just like a private company, yeah, that the boss decides, okay, I pay more, I pay less, etc. So this kind of thing is going on. And some of it happened in the NHS, and this is what is making Jeremy Corbyn unhappy. Okay, so that's the first argument, the first eight lines. Is it eight? Ten. The first few lines. Yeah, up to profiteers. That section is Theresa May says she wants a fairer Britain. Let's look. Did the Conservative Party do things that are fair? So he uses his first argument and he contradicts her with some examples. And of course, because this is a political speech, yeah, the Conservatives cannot answer. They can answer tomorrow, but they can't answer immediately. Then he begins a second argument. Donc si vous allez, bon ça c'est un peu long comme extrait peut-être pour analyser un examen, mais vous dites, bon voilà, il y a premier argument, deuxième argument, je vous montrerai que vous avez compris un peu la structure. So his second argument, in case their talk of fairness doesn't wash, they have another card to play. that this election is all about Brexit and who can play at being toughest with Brussels. Labour will not allow the Tories to put their party interests ahead of the real national interest, the interest of the British people. This election isn't about Brexit itself. That issue has been settled by the referendum. The question now is, what sort of Brexit do we want, and what sort of country do we want Britain to be after Brexit? Labour wants a jobs-first Brexit, a Brexit that safeguards the future of Britain's vital industries, a Brexit that paves the way to a genuinely fairer society, protecting human rights and an upgraded economy.
Alors, il y a certaines choses ici qui, bon, il dit, nous on veut un Brexit qui donne lieu à un pays plus juste. Bon, il ne va pas dire le contraire, hein, sauf c'est, il y a certaines phrases qui sont un petit peu vides. Bon, c'est pas de guerre.
Now, there's a couple of things about this which is important. First of all, notice they say, Labour wants this, Labour wants that, we will do this, we will do that. Notice that he does not say, I. He does not speak in the first person. And this is important because this is not a presidential election. It's a parliamentary election. Who will be the government? And the government will be Labour. And, of course, he hopes to be Prime Minister. But you can change Prime Minister in Britain without, like in France, without changing the government. You have a new Prime Minister. So this is very different from the presidential election. Perhaps you remember the, I think it was the debate between Hollande and Sarkozy a few years ago. And Hollande had a very good speechwriter, and he said, and he began, moi, président, je ferai ceci. 20 times in the debate he said, moi, président, blah, 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 moi, président. This was very good, calm, very good. And also, Sarkozy, I think it was Sarkozy, he was having a bad night because he didn't counterattack, you know. Il n'a même pas dit, vous pensez que vous allez être président. Il didn't, you know, on aurait pu se moquer de l'adversaire, mais il n'a pas fait. And so, moi, président, that was very good political communication. Well, and in this case, he must not do, also it's not his style, but also it's Labour will do this, Labour will do that. It's very important. Now, they mentioned Brexit there, and so this election isn't about Brexit itself, that issue has been settled. So he's saying here that the referendum decided on Brexit, and we accept that. That's what he's saying. Now, in fact, this will be kind of complicated because a section of the Labour Party does not accept it, and there is a campaign for a second referendum. Yeah, there was a campaign, not a very powerful campaign, but a significant campaign for a second referendum. Now, this was, in fact, people who wanted to stay in the the European Union. Some people said, "Well, the referendum gave the wrong result because people were badly informed." I think it was actually politically impossible to have a second referendum. Because if you have a referendum and you don't like the results, so you have another one, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look too good. Certainly some people who voted to remain also considered, yeah, we lost, that's life, that's democracy. You know, so this was very, very complicated. But it was Brexit was a very, very emotional issue. And so he was having to be very, very careful. And so what he actually says about it, I think it's a bit vague because he doesn't want to upset anybody because it's a very, very difficult question. Donc effectivement, il va... Il y a qu'une seule chose là que je trouve très marquant. On line 67, he says, what kind of society we want? We want to make sure that when we leave the European Union, nevertheless, we protect human rights. And that is significant because, in fact, in Britain, many of the protections of human rights were part of European law. And when Britain left the European Union, there was a debate, should we keep the same law about human rights or not? Jeremy Corbyn is saying, let's be careful. There are some things we want to keep about the European Union, for example, the human rights situation. Labour's plan to transform Britain will mean a big deal to upgrade the economy, new infrastructure to support the industries of the future. Now, some of these are things which every party will say. You know, no party will say, we do not want to upgrade the economy. We do not want to support the industries of the future. So c'est un petit peu vide, parce que tous les partis vont évidemment dire qu'ils veulent que l'économie aille mieux. So that's not very specific. Some of them are very rather general. And an investment in training and skills to equip our workforce to compete globally. It means rebuilding our NHS and social care services with the funding they need. So what he means is more money for hospitals and more money for social care. So this is an anti-austerity idea. As you know, in many countries they want to save 10 milliards or other amounts of money. Now, the NHS is the hospitals and the doctors and the dentists. Social care is when you need help in your home. For example, because you are disabled or because you are old, you need somebody to come every day to help you have a shower. That's social care. So the NHS and social care. And of course, as the population is getting older, social care is getting more and more expensive. There's more of it. And there's always a bit of a conflict. How much should, you know, if you're very old and you need somebody to come and give you help you have a shower every day and you don't have much money, who should pay? Is this a government problem? You know, this discussion goes on. It means building a million homes to rent and buy. Now, if you are commenting this, frankly, the extract that you've got here, it is perfectly possible to comment it for 2 hours. It's not a problem. It's easily enough thing to say. All you need to do is say a few things in 10 minutes. Yeah, so if you get some of them. So here you have: we want to build a million homes. Okay, he's speaking in particular of social housing, and so it would be possible to say that appears to be ambitious in 2017, but in the 1950s, even the Conservative governments, they built 300,000 homes every year in the past. And also it might remind us that the question of housing has been tremendously controversial under Conservative governments. In particular, the Thatcher government introduced the idea that if you live in social housing, if you rent social housing, we will sell it to you. You can buy it. And this was the idea that, the Conservative idea that it's better for people to own their houses and not to rent it. And in contrast, the welfare state people said, if you sell the social house to this family, then there is no social house for the next poor family which will arrive. Different ways of thinking. Let's say that housing has always been a point of conflict between Thatcherism and other ideas. It means tackling the scandal of air pollution, which contributes to 40,000 deaths a year. And so he mentions something ecological that's very... you must mention environmental questions. Number 75, we will introduce a comprehensive program to strengthen rights at work, make sure new jobs are good jobs, and end the race to the bottom in pay conditions and job security. Low pay and insecurity have spread like an epidemic under the Tories.
So rights at work, and now what I found most noticeable, so it's going to talk about the workplace and what rights do you have at work. Est-ce que vous avez un CDI ou non? C'est ce genre de choses. C'est que des CDI, que des vacations, ou est-ce que c'est des contrats solides ou non?
There is something here that he does not mention, which I think is a little surprising. Now this is always a good question. Is there anything that the speaker does not mention? Yeah, and that's always, absence is always. Can anybody notice something he does not mention in these four lines when he's talking about the workplace and contracts and
trade unions?
Exactly, he doesn't mention trade unions. Moi, je trouve ça époustouflant qu'il ne les évoque pas. Because traditionally, these are exactly the things certainly in the 1970s, and the left wing of Labour, Tony Benn, and the left wing of Labour in the 1970s, trade unions are the most, and Jeremy Corbyn thinks that trade unions are very, very important. I think that if he doesn't mention them, he thinks they are important, but he is not sure if they are so very popular. I think it's a tactic. Let's talk about the actual jobs. People agree we need good jobs. CDE, good contracts, do you agree? Yes. Let's not talk today about trade unions, because, you know, one of the difficulties of having radical ideas, because Jeremy Corbyn does not want to lose his radical ideas, but he also wants to win the election. Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure that the reason he does not mention trade unions is because he knows that trade unions are sometimes popular, sometimes not so popular. Yeah, it's a controversial question, which is interesting here, because there are other things he doesn't mention. Remember that Jeremy Corbyn is a Republican. He's against the monarchy. What does he say about this here? Nothing. We are not surprised, because he's being pragmatic. He knows that if he becomes Prime Minister, he will not be able to abolish the monarchy, because the Prime Minister cannot abolish the monarchy. So he's saying, well, let's not talk about this. Yeah. I can only make enemies if I say I don't like the monarchy. Yeah. Some people will agree, but there's nothing. Yeah, so he's being practical about it. And the same way, Jeremy Corbyn is against nuclear weapons. He thinks that Britain should abandon its nuclear weapons. Again, I read all this a few weeks ago, so I'm not absolutely certain, but I'm pretty sure he says nothing about this. Because, you know, he wants to concentrate on the things which he thinks can be changed. Yes, yeah? So, comme la prière, accepter ce qu'on ne peut pas changer. Yeah. So this is interesting in that I think it's always good to have a little, what is not being said? Now, it's not an easy question, of course, what is not being said, yeah, because he doesn't talk about football either. But yeah, that's not important. Labour will invest in skills and jobs and take action to enforce a floor under employment standards across the boards, so that all jobs are decent jobs, so that all workers, the true wealth creators, can play their part in transforming Britain and benefit fully from it. However, in that sentence, he uses a little expression which is really Marxist. He says, the workers, c'est les travailleurs qui créent les richesses en vrai. This is really a Marxist point of view. Yeah. Remember, Thatcherism says, who creates wealth? Entrepreneurs. Yeah, entrepreneurs, business people, create jobs and create wealth. That's the Thatcherism point of view. And the Marxist point of view, no, workers create wealth. I don't think Jeremy Corbyn is a Marxist, but he has some sympathy with Marxism. And so he's saying here, je pense que ça sort un peu malgré lui, yo, il est vrai créateur de la richesse quand même. Yeah? Okay, which is something that you will never hear Keir Starmer saying. Because the people who know about politics, they say, yeah, that's Marxism. Keir Starmer will never say that.
That's why we are fighting to win this election, so we can transform Britain for the many, not the few. When we win, the British people win. The nurse, the teacher, the small trader, the carer, the builder, the office worker win.
Okay, so here we have, this is political rhetoric. Yeah, he's trying to encourage people, yeah, so that they will want to go out and knock on a lot of doors to win the election, because really, quand nous gagnons, c'est le peuple qui gagne. Suppose que vous pensez ça, on n'apprend rien quelque part. This is rhetoric. It's about it's not about informing them. After that sentence, you do not learn anything new. He is the leader of the Labour Party. Of course he thinks that it's better that the Labour Party wins. So this is a rhetorical thing. It's part of a speech, yeah? And that's why it's repetitive. When we win, the British people win. The nurse wins. The teacher wins. The small, etc., yeah?
And here they have, he uses the expression, for the many, not the few.
That was the slogan that Jeremy Corbyn and his friends chose for the Labour Party for the 2011 election. It's 2017 election. For the many, not the few. It's not bad as a slogan. They want to impress a lot of people. Notice, he does not say victory to the workers. Because workers is a very left-wing idea that some people won't like that so much. Yeah? Yeah? He does not say, let's destroy capitalism. That's his opinion. Jeremy Corbyn thinks it would be a good thing to destroy capitalism. But he thinks it's not a good slogan for today. You try to find a slogan which will bring a lot of people in. For the many, not the few, is the one that they've chosen there. Are there any further questions about this? So I would say... You decide you'll respond to Paul's book of deed capture. Are there any questions about this? Yeah, so I would say that once you've said 1 minute, in one minute, who is Jeremy Corbyn? In 1 minute, what is the 2015? What is the situation? What is the crime? What are the big questions? And then 4 or 5 minutes, he uses this argument and this argument. He uses this style, this vocabulary. He might be trying to do this, he might be trying to do that. Quelques références. Et le tour est joué. And I think that's enough for today. Je vous souhaite...